It is the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. How healthy is it to have a pet? Amazingly healthy. The amazing health benefits of pets. Our guest is Carolyn Montez de Oca. Hey, Carolyn, welcome back to the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back, Ed.
You know, I apologize. I think I'm mispronouncing your name. It's Carlin. I called you Carolyn, right?
Well, you're getting closer. It's Carlene.
Carlene! Thank you. I'm glad I asked. Bless your heart for putting up with me here. And maybe it's the pets that make you able to put up with me, even. How many animals do you have around you? How many do you regularly have in your presence or nearby?
Well, actually, when I think you know, I wrote a book. In the book, I had six animals that I wrote about. So we started with six. We started with four dogs and two cats. And over time, unfortunately, some of these guys have passed away. Mm. So now I have two older dogs. One is 14 and one is nearly 16.
Wow. All right. So those are some long years for those two. We have a puppy in the building. Just got here a few weeks ago, a little baby Keyshawn, and he is, and so you know the dog I'm talking about, right? A Keyshawn.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Named Kenzie, and this dog is so good for everybody who comes in the building. I have the radio network up here. We have all different offices and a retail establishment downstairs. There's not a visitor. There's not a coworker. Even the guys who come for delivery love this dog. You want to go over and spend a couple of minutes. After you do, you're in a much better frame of mind. Is this just an illusion? Is this just something we imagine happens? Or do we understand the biology, the physical reason for this? Because the dog is truly a tonic for people of all ages.
Well, it's funny that you should say that you have a dog in the workplace, because June 23rd is actually Bring Your Dog to Work Day. And 20% of, I think that they're seeing that 20% of companies now are allowing, in the United States, are allowing people to bring in their animals or have an animal on the premises. You know, it's an interesting thing. I think that there's some things that we know about that animals actually do. For example, we do know that, let's say, petting a dog or stroking a cat can decrease your cortisol levels, which are your stress hormones. And they can, you know, decrease stress. They can relieve, you know, bring our heart rate down, which actually is really good for our heart and for blood pressure. It's good for cholesterol. You know, a dog is going to get you to get more active and get out. They're great for socializing with other coworkers, let's say, in the workplaces you're probably seeing. They definitely have, and we see this, there's many, many studies that show routinely. I feel like I see one every day that says another thing that they're great for. But I don't think we totally know everything. And in fact, recently I read something that talked about how in that moment when you're stroking a dog or you're just being in that space with that animal, that it kind of makes the brain stop for a second. You know, so many of us have those spinning records in our head and we're worried about tomorrow and yesterday and everything else. And suddenly you're in the presence of this animal and you, in that moment, stop.
You know, I know exactly what you mean, because not only do we have the new puppy that I get a big kick out of, but I go visit a good friend of mine and they have kind of an older cat. Now, they've got three cats, but only one cat is into what I'm about to describe. The other two do what cats normally do. Right? They look at you, they move right, they have their own thing. The one cat cannot wait to get on your lap, cannot wait to, he starts rubbing his body up against your leg, wanting you to sit down, jumps right up there. And the immediate effect, I absolutely relish. As soon as I get there, I usually say to them, "Where's the cat? I gotta." Even before I finish saying hello to them, I want to get a little bit of my cat on. And I say to myself, and this is the question I have for you: it's because our success with humans is so miserable. These poor animals are doing the job of human beings. We shouldn't need cats. We have humans, but we destroy families, break up, people don't get together for years and years. Horrible mental illness, depression all over the society. And the cats and the dogs have jumped in, I think, looking at how pathetic humans are. You know, you people can't even get along. We'll help you. You know, I love that they can do this, but it shows something's missing in us if we need cats to feel loved and cared. And you used the word before, the body chemicals there. Would you say cortisol? There's stuff inside the body that we can't even unleash in our human families. In our human relationships, we don't get it. We get it out of these animals. I'm with you. I think there's a lot more that they can do for us, but it definitely shows you that we don't know how to manage ourselves, right?
Well, I think that I pretty much agree. I think that it's crazy that there is so much chronic illness that is coming down the pike for so many of us. You know, one in four of us will get some kind of heart disease, you know, or we may die from heart disease. That's the leading kind of killer in the United States. But chronic illness after chronic illness after chronic illness, which are so preventable. And then, of course, you've mentioned all the mental illness and such. So there is something going on. I mean, it should not have to be this way. And, we turned animals. You know, suddenly we're seeing that they can really help us, which is a really great thing. I mean, I think animals are way ahead of us, and it's
right
not
on.
Only our dogs and our cats, but it's also, I mean, we see horses, we see pot-bellied pigs, we see all kinds of animals, and it makes me a little sad to know that, you know, we treat animals so poorly,
exactly.
And yet they are so beneficial.
Amen. Amen to all. I'll sign right on the dotted line. Carlene Montez de Oca is our guest. She is the author of Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. So, this has been true in history. How did we start this relationship? It looks like it's been going on for thousands of years. Every time they go to one of these ancient burial sites, you find the cat gets buried with the mummy. You find that the cat or the domesticated pet, whatever it was at the time, is elevated. Is this something you think's been going on since the beginning of time?
Well, I find that an interesting because I think to myself, okay, let's take dogs. We know that they've been around for thousands and thousands of years, and they became close to man. I mean, at least what we know is that, you know, they kept coming closer to the campsites, you know, to where we were. And at first, maybe they hunted with us and then became more protectors. And then eventually they became a little more familial. You know, they became part of, you know, maybe not totally family members, but they kept kind of creeping closer and closer. And some people surmise, well, maybe that's to do with their ability to survive. You know, they figured out the way to survive with us. But I always say it goes from heel to heel. It used to be from H-E-E-L to now H-E-A-L, because
right now
they've kind of moved to the next paradigm, which is they're helping us heal in so many ways. And I always think of animals as being kind of the guardians of nature, because we have forgotten so many of us have forgotten our connection to nature.
Right.
And as an acupuncturist, that is such a key component that most people forget about healing, is our connection to nature. Most of us are cut off from that, but yet we have nature in our homes, these animals that are in our homes.
Our
that can help kind of bridge that.
Absolutely. But, oh, man, you know, we should be having you on more often. This is, we haven't really gotten deep enough into this subject. We're going to have you, especially over the course of the summer, I think it's perfect. Everybody is spending more recreational time. And as you said, the pet is a pathway to remembering nature. The serenity in nature, the oneness with nature that we kind of, you know, ignore from time to time. Our guest is Carlene Montez de Oca. She is an author, speaker, acupuncturist, plant-based nutritional consultant, and animal advocate in practice near San Francisco. She is the founder of the Animal-Human Health Connection. Is any of this because... the dog doesn't argue, The cat doesn't argue. It doesn't care about its point of view. Doesn't really have one. Happy to eat, be safe, get some sleep, and start all over again when the sun comes up. Is there something to that simplicity that they experience matched with our chaos, self-destruction, greedy narcissism in the human? And it's the yin-yang.
Well, thank you. I like that term, yin-yang, you know, especially since I am an acupuncturist. I do think that simplicity is key. When I have patients come into my office, it's funny because they do want the magic thing, the magic thing. Even when it's acupuncture, it's like the magic point. And I keep saying, okay, let's go back to the basics. It's really nutrition 101. It's exercise 101. Everybody wants to jump over that. And I feel that animals, you know, the companion animals we have in our home, it's wellness 101. They are here to show us the simple things are the things that matter. The simple things are the things that bring us not only a quality of life that can be so wonderful, but quantity of life. Hopefully, you know, doing great habits health-wise will add years to your life. So I do believe that they are in a state of presence, which means that they are not so focused on what happened yesterday or tomorrow, but right now. And that is something that so many of us forget. Now, having said that, I do feel, I don't know that it's a point of view. I don't know that animals do not have the same way of thinking or being in that mental state as humans. But I do think it's a reciprocal relationship where they have their needs, and it's about your relationship with them that will actually enhance the health benefits for both of you.
The book is Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life, available on Amazon. The website is www.modernalchemyacupuncture.com. And I want to explore this next one. I love this. And how you discovered it and what else this might mean, I think is very important here. Having a pet during the first year of life can actually boost the immunity of the kids. This is terrific. Allergies, asthma, all this kind of stuff. What do you think that is? Again, how would that work? I love it. I think there's so many benefits from a kid and a beautiful, you know, household member, cat, dog, getting along. I think the relationship is terrific. The personalities, you know, go together and all of that. But physically, to actually be aiding in the health of the child, remarkable. How did you come up with this, and how does that work?
Well, there are studies that show that. There are studies that show that, you know, being exposed to these animals, it helps you build up, you know, an immunity inside your system, just as being exposed to certain things early on in life will again, you know, it's just building up. Like, for example, homeopathy works that way. You just give a little bit of something, and then it sort of builds with the immunity. So this is something that we see lots of studies that show with asthma, with allergies, with just in terms of, you know, yeah, mostly allergies and asthma and immunity. So I was lucky that I grew up with animals early on in life. That really helped me. And I've seen that with other patients who have them. And of course, it is the first year. After that, I don't think that we see as much of the immune boosting benefits of that.
Got it. Now, as the founder of the Animal-Human Health Connection, tell me what the organization does. Tell me what kinds of activities go on, and we could certainly invite our listeners to join in with them, because I know we have a lot of people who are going to love this idea. What is the organization?
The Animal-Human Health Connection, which is at animalhumanhealthconnection.com, is something that I came up with when I started to see the impact that animals were having on my own patients in my office. It's interesting because people come in to see me and they may be a little reluctant, they may be a little hesitant, they may have something going on, they don't know me so well, and suddenly we'd get into a conversation about their animals and they'd start smiling, they'd start laughing, they'd start crying. You know, so I knew as an acupuncturist, wow, this is pretty powerful, even in the retelling of a story. This is pretty powerful, the impact these animals have on their health, on people's health and well-being. And of course, with science now, we know that that's a legitimate fact that this is going on. So I came up with the animal-human health connection as a way to be able to just really talk about this more, as opposed to people looking for the magic bullet. It's in your house. It's probably lying on your stomach right now, or lying near your keyboard or at your feet. So I really do a lot of workshops. I do a lot of public speaking. I try to get people, I wrote the book, of course, and I try to get people really aware of this connection, because I think as many health and wellness toolkit, a toolkit that's full of health and wellness tools that are natural and healthy is really important for people, especially as we age and as we see all of this chronic illness that is coming up.
You
so
know,
right now, one of the things I'm doing is I'm going on what I call the Positive Book Tour, P-A-W-S, Positive
right,
Book Tour.
Right.
And I'm talking a lot about this during that during my book tour about this connection.
You know, another thing, it's dawning on me as I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about over the years, pets I've had and pets I've been around, and even the new little Keyshawn in the building has this effect. Animals are good in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
They don't flip out. They start to do things that they think will help. They run to the person who's injured. There's something about that they're better centered than we are. What do you make of that? Where does their inner calm come from that they're able to share it with us? Now, I don't mean silence. They can make noises. You know, the dog can be barking, the cat can be meowing, for sure. But there is a steadiness in them. And I don't know if we believe in the idea of the reptile brain, that I guess for thousands and thousands of years, they've seen so much. Maybe, like humans, experience has made them not panic. But you don't see pets or animals panic the way you see humans panic at the drop of a hat. What do you make of their inner peace?
Yes, well, there is science that shows that the brain makeup, I mean, they are in a place that is much more in the present again. So, you know, it's not like they're thinking, for example, oh my gosh, something terrible is going to happen or something. And of course, we have animals that have come, like all my rescue dogs have come from situations that were not great. They were not great at all. But over time, with trust and love and all the great things that you have in your relationships, they've blossomed and they seem to let go of all of the past stuff a lot more easily than I definitely see humans. So I do know that the brain is made up and is a little bit different. But one of the things I have definitely seen that always remind me of what you're talking about is during the times that my animals have passed away. And for the last few dogs and cats, I've actually been able to stay with them at the hospital overnight when that is happening. And I'm extremely sad when that's going on, but they just are very steady and very calm, and it's almost like they're there for me, you know, in some ways, and just kind of like helping me move through it, which has helped me actually move through human death a lot more easily.
Well, I think we could all agree, whether you like him or don't like him, it could probably help President Trump a little bit. Doesn't he need a dog? Honest to God, whether you're biggest fan or you can't stand the guy, I think both sides would say, get this guy a dog. You know, he's up all night with the tweeting. He's into all of this controversy all the time. I'm telling you, I think a dog would be so good for him. First of all, you know, he's very hot and cold, right, on who he likes and doesn't like. I think he and the dog would bond immediately. So I'm going to send an email up to the White House. I'm going to give a call to that Reince Priebus guy. Say, get him a dog. You know, he deserves it. Or, you know, other people say, well, he doesn't. Don't get him one. He doesn't even deserve a dog. But you know what I mean? Dogs don't care what your politics. You know, Hitler had a dog. It's crazy, but he did. Vladimir Putin has a dog. So, I don't know. You know, they're very, accepting no matter who you are. Right, the dog is not going to put you through any qualification process. The dog, if you love the dog will love you back, right?
You know what? It's been my experience, and it's totally been my experience. And part of me is laughing right now because you've touched on one of my favorite subjects ever. Because I really do, in my mind, have thought, gosh, what could Donald Trump learn from a dog? What could Donald Trump learn from a cat? And one of my favorite things is, let's not exclude our cats, because cats have a lot to teach us also.
That's right.
And I always thought to myself, you know what? One of the best tips that Donald Trump could take from a cat is, you know, you retract your claws you'll make better friends.
Yeah, and you know something? It'd be really cool if Trump was up there and he's giving some kind of speech or saying something, and when people start to hassle him, the dog starts to growl. That would be cool if the dog was protective of him. And the reporter's saying, oh, what about this collusion with Russians? And he could just stand behind the dog and say, talk to Fido. Why don't you try work that out with Fido down there? Fido will give you a piece of mind. Oh, yeah, I just think everybody should have
it
one.
It is true. Yeah, it is true. You know, I was actually at a book reading this week, and I was talking about, some people were asking me about, like, you know, what it took to write a book or whatever, and I was kind of telling them my story, and there were animals in the audience because I'm aligning with different rescues along the way and contributing to their organization, so there were quite a number of dogs in the audience, and I began to tell my story about something that was unpleasant that had happened to me. I had gone through a divorce, and as when I said those words, and then I went through a divorce, all the dogs started to bark.
Wow.
In the audience. And I was like, wow, they picked up on that.
They got it right away. Carlene Montez de Oca, what a great visit today. Thank you so much. Couple of things I want to plug here and get people's attention directly to. Number one, you can get the book on Amazon, Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. Also, your organization, the Animal-Human Health Connection, has the website. You say it because you said it before very well.
AnimalHumanHealth.com.
Perfect. AnimalHumanHealth.com. Carlene, I hope you'll come back with us all the time. We love visiting with you. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, it was great, Ed. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
The Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, AM/FM stations all across America. News, weather, traffic, and sports are coming up next.